Hello and welcome to the German New Medicine Stories podcast. May listening bring liberation and lightness to your healing journey. Please note that nothing that I or any of my guests say here is or should be misinterpreted as medical information or advice. These are personal stories, not prescriptions. Okay, so today I'm going to share more of my personal stories, just recent connections, small symptoms, and also one symptom that I've actually had since I was 18. So I'll start with that one. I think it's the most fun, maybe. So, okay, a little bit of context. When I had just turned 18, I moved to Vancouver and I had just finished a gap year and was going back to university for my second year of university to do this program that I thought was going to be amazing. And, you know, that ended up being my last semester of university and I ended up dropping out. But so I moved to Vancouver with my partner at the time. And it was a very like pivotal moment in my life where a lot of things kind of really shifted and pointed me in the direction that I've gone in my life. And about a month into school starting, like a month into being there, I got really sick, probably like the most intense like flu symptoms, you know, I think I probably ever had. I just remember feeling my face was going to explode, you know. I just like my sinuses were not enjoying themselves. So anyways, so that's what was going on then. And so I had this period, I feel like it lasted like a month, at least several weeks, where I was like down and out. And then, you know, all the symptoms went away except for one lingering symptom that has pretty much stayed with me since then. And I actually wasn't trying to resolve the symptom because I frankly forgotten that it was even a symptom and, you know, had just kind of like so just like melted into my day, like it was so inconsequential that, you know, I just didn't even see it as like a thing that could be there or not be there. It was just like, oh, this is just a part of how my body works. But it started it started when I, you know, quote unquote got sick right after I went back to university, and then it never left after that. And so the symptom was like every morning coughing up like a little bit of phlegm, like feeling just this, I don't know, I want to say like tightness in the back of my throat. I would cough up this like most often, sometimes not, I would just have that tight feelings, but I would say most days, and there's probably been periods where that wasn't the case, but most often wake up, cough, go about my day. Okay. And I remember like the first year that it was going on, definitely being like, oh, you know, have I developed an allergy or something? Because this isn't going away. But then, you know, it was just so minor that just didn't really pay any attention to it. And I wasn't trying to resolve it. But maybe 3 weeks ago, I was just lying in bed, you know, before bed, Matthew often reads, and I often just lay there thinking. And you know, it's like my prime sort of pondering, ruminating time. I don't know, I just feel like I have do my best thinking at that time of day. I have access to a different part of my brain. And so I was laying there thinking about German medicine, as I often am, and I was thinking about morsel conflicts and just the whole idea of a morsel and like how to most clearly articulate that to people, and you know, how I feel that idea in my own body and in my own kind of life experience, and was just kind of ruminating broadly on this topic of a morsel conflict and feeling into that sensation of like not being able to swallow something, wanting something, but not being able to get it. Spending time in that experience, contemplating that experience of a morsel conflict. And woke up the next morning and like felt a different sensation in my throat, which I thought was interesting because I had just been, you know, thinking about all these morsel conflict things just kind of generally the night before. And so then the next night, when it got to my thinking time day before bed, I you know, made a point to kind of return to that subject. And then I was thinking, okay, well, I wonder if this, you know, sort of coughing up phlegm thing, like, it sounds silly now to say, I wonder if that's a symptom, but truly it had just like become a part of my life. I just didn't care at all. And so then I thought, okay, I noticed a kind of interesting change in that this morning. When did that start? And immediately I remembered, okay, it started when I went back to university and, you know, had this period of like being very unwell. And so, okay, what was my morsel? What was the situation, the thing that I couldn't swallow? And there was quite a lot going on at that time. So at first thought I was like, well, there's a lot of things, but then it just came to me. And it was very, very clear. So right after we moved, I had a dream. And I'm a really big dreamer. Well, I don't think I used to be, actually. It's very interesting since I have, like, you know, kind of dove headfirst into German New Medicine and been like far more attentive to my subconscious. I mean, my dreams have just been extraordinary and multiplied and are like far more present part of my experience. But anyways, back then, I had a dream. And it was the most vivid, just like felt like real life dream I've ever had. And it was just like a very brief sort of like snapshot moment where I was standing in a field and I could, like, you know, upon waking, and for many years after, I could probably still access it now if I really, really tried, you know, could like, it just, I could close my eyes and go back there. Like, I could like feel my feet on the earth. Okay. Standing in the field, and I'm looking across at my partner. So my ex at the time, or he was a boyfriend, he's now my ex. You know, we were together for like six years. And looking across at him, and he's holding a baby, our baby. And, you know, that was the dream. And the felt experience of it was just like the most sort of profound contentment and peace, and like everything's okay and beautiful and just right, you know. And so it was a beautiful dream. And you know, now I didn't have any of this association at the time, but like now, you know, I relate to that as like a really beautiful spirit baby communication experience. And I had absolutely none of, I mean, I didn't even want to be a mother really prior to that. It was not at all in my consciousness. But then I had this dream, and it was, when I woke up, it was like I had connected to a sensation that I didn't even know was possible, you know, like that level of just, yeah, like safety and contentment and security, and to my own desire to become a mother. And as a kind of quick side note, you know, at that point in time, I was really quite deep into radical environmentalism and, you know, reading a lot and studying a lot, kind of like global ecosystem collapse, and had a very dire perspective of the world and where we are headed. And yeah, just basically, and I mean, and that also, that indoctrination goes back even younger for me. Like, I did my grade five science fair project on climate change, and I had these little like paper mache globes, you know, like one was our globe now, and then one was the globe in 2030, and, you know, all of this, the sea level rise. And anyways, but at that particular moment in time, I was like very deep into this kind of like existential terror about, like, yeah, this ecosystem collapse. And so when I woke up from this dream, which was like so beautiful and felt like so profoundly real, like I had actually experienced that, I then, there was this moment of of shock where I then met my current belief system and my current reality, which was like, that is not possible for you. Like, you have been born in a time where you can never have that. You will never have that. You will never probably have a baby. And if you have a baby, like, you can never give them that experience of like safety and health and clean air and peace and like trust for, I don't know, you know, life going forward, because, well, basically the world is ending and, you know, there's going to be no water and no food and no clean air. And just met with like the absolute devastation of that and sort of injustice. And yeah, I couldn't swallow it. And so, you know, I like this story a lot. I mean, obviously it's a very kind of like personally meaningful story to me, because interestingly, so I had that dream. And then I think within the next 2 week period had all the serendipitous things happen. You know, I discovered radical feminism. I discovered free birth and also regenerative agriculture, like all separately, which all then basically, you know, sort of became the focus of my life for like the next 5 years, and really set me, I don't know, on the path to where I am today. And so, yeah, you know, that dream has like continued, you know, to be sort of a pivotal moment in my life. But it's also very interesting, right? Because nothing happened. Like, there's nothing you could record with a video camera. Like, that was an entirely personal, entirely subjective, imagined experience, right? Like, I had this dream that occurred only inside of my head. And then that dream was like, then reality really confronted, or like, not reality as it actually is, right? But reality, as I understood it in my current, in my belief system at that point in time, like, there was a major clash between those two. And I had a conflict shock. I mean, I was like grief stricken. It's very, I don't know if it sounds very odd as I explain it, but like, I was for weeks after that, like, crying. Like, I was so, so upset, because it was just this sensation of like the things that I most want in life, like my deepest desires, you know, I can never have. That's how I felt, you know? And I did. I mean, I probably talked about it a little bit. I know I talked about it with my boyfriend at the time. I think I told my mother, who was like, "What are you like? What are you talking about?" And it's interesting now to think back. Well, how come like a month after that I went into this massive resolution around it? And I think I know why. I think it's because I met a midwife. An in the system midwife, and then just like bizarrely, because I never had even listened to a podcast before in my life, like, just went home, looked on my phone on podcasts, and like put in birth and came up with the Indie Birth podcast, and, you know, discovered the whole world of free birth. And this was the first time I had ever heard anyone talking about birth and motherhood in this way, like full of possibility and joy and wholesomeness and you know, like oriented in biological, like physiology, you know? And so I think that kind of total devastation, like this, there was this real birth of like hope and like, oh my God, I could just have my baby at home. And, you know, I could just like, you know, and I found regenerative livestock farming too. Like, okay, we could just like have a cabin in the woods and like have a beautiful family and live this really sweet life. And yeah, it was just like I had discovered these ideas that were so uplifting to me and so healing and offered just this whole other perspective, this whole other possibility, that I think that's why I went into resolution. But the thread that has stayed, the track that has remained chronic, I'm pretty sure that I have stepped on almost every day, is this like subtle sensation, this subtle feeling of the things I most want, I cannot have because the world is the way it is, you know, like the apocalypse, whatever. Yeah, so anyways, all of this just like came to me as I was there contemplating my morsel conflict. And it also really occurred to me, like, that conflict is over. It is so totally over for me, on many levels. So about maybe 5 years after I had that dream, and this like spirit baby that I believe to be a girl, like there continued to be like a real relationship for many years. And then had this very interesting experience of 5 years later being in Quebec, on a farm that my now ex, but then boyfriend, you know, was working on. And I was living there for the summer too. And on like some of the first ATV rides around the farm, and it was very big. And just like this crazy deja vu. And I realized, oh my God, this is where, like, this is the place where the dream happened. Like this landscape, which is, you know, very different, you know, Quebec, very different to BC. Like this landscape is where I had that dream. And we were staying there to basically test it out to see if we wanted to move there and join a sort of cooperative farm. Turned out very much didn't want to. And so it was like this very interesting moment, because I was also, you know, deciding, do I stay in this relationship or do I leave? And I chose to leave. And it really felt like this kind of full circle, like ribbon tied, you know, that was the last summer that I was farming. And I then started really doing birth work at that point in time, and was also like just everything, all the seeds that got planted right after that initial dream had really kind of like come to fruition, or were like closing at that moment in time. And so it just felt like there was this completion with that man, you know, with my ex and with this baby. And yeah, like that chapter closed. So there's like that piece, like that closed. But also what occurred to me in the night 3 weeks ago, and I was thinking about all of this, is like my belief system, the belief system that made that conflict possible, right? That made it so I could have that dream and then experience this kind of like agony over it feeling just completely like ripped away from me, you know, that was over. I don't believe that anymore. Like I have a very different belief system about the world, and have even actually experienced so many of those sensations that I had in that dream since then. And I, you know, totally believe that I will, you know, have a child and experience the beauty of that, and you know, have a different understanding and vision for like what is currently happening and the future and all of this. And so that conflict is over for me. Like when I could bring it into conscious awareness. And now I've thought about that moment a lot, and I've told it to a lot of people, but what I find is when I can like understand these past things within the biological context, like with understanding the five biological laws, understanding the special biological programs, something about the, like the biological language just unlocks something. And there's a part of me that goes like, oh, you get it. Like you understand, you know, just gives language to the most kind of like primal part of me. And while I could also realize it's over, like, and I just felt such lightness and such peace and like, in that moment. And I have not experienced the symptom since then. That was like 3 weeks ago. And also interestingly, like that feeling of, you know, your desires in life will kind of always like unjustly be out withheld from you, you know, that feeling feels like it's just really dissipated. So yeah, hopefully, that story makes sense. So I was in a hanging healing, so I had the conflict shock, I had gone into resolution, but then I was kind of constantly, you know, ripping the scab off of and continually coming into contact with that sensation. And so just low grade, running the special biological program for, well, that was when I was 18, now I'm 26. So almost 8 years. And now it's over and I wasn't even trying. And so, I think it's really sweet that, like, when you have this framework in place, I mean, I just experienced so much, like the answers come to you, the answers you didn't even know that you, to the questions you weren't even really trying to ask, but it's like, you have the framework, you have all the tools. And so, it really creates an environment that's conducive to things bubbling up, and that when they do bubble up, that you are aware of what is going on and, you know, don't let things slip by. So, I love that story. It's very precious to me. I think it just also really reveals, like, the, how deeply personal and subjective, all of our conflicts are. Okay, so I have three more. One, this is a fun one. This actually isn't my story, it's Matthew's, but I'm gonna tell it. So the other night I was cutting his hair. So he's cut off his dreads, he has short hair, and I've been like cutting, like not all of his hair. Oh my God, it would look so bad if I did that. But I've just been like, you know, cutting around his ears for him so that it doesn't, like, so that it can grow out without it looking like hilariously long over his ears. So I've maybe cut it like three times or something, but this week I was cutting his hair and I noticed that his right ear, he had like a scab on, like right on the top of his ear here. And it was also kind of like eczema, kind of rashy there. And if you've listened to his previous episode we did together, we talked about the eczema that he'd had behind his ear since he was 3 years old, that had totally gone away. And this was different. It was a different place because that eczema was kind of back here and this was like right on top of his ear. And anyways, I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, what is that? He said, yeah, like, I mean, the scab was because he'd been picking at it, been itchy. He said, yeah, I've noticed it. Like, I've had it for a couple of weeks. And then all, like, it just like immediately, he had kind of already had the awareness, like it all clicked for him. As I was there again with the scissors cutting his hair, that the last time I cut his hair, he had had a conflict shock. He had had a separation, a wanting to separate from me and the scissors conflict. Am I going to cut him? And being back again in the same circumstance, and it had just like immediately clicked for him of, you know, what had happened and, why he had all of a sudden got this new like eczema, patch right on the top of his ear. We just had a laugh about it. And, I totally forgot about it, but then the next day he came home and he showed me and it was completely gone, completely, completely gone. The scab and all of the eczema, rash that was there as well. Just another like simple, fun story of a separation conflict. And, you know, he's very, very prone to separation conflicts, right? As you know, if you've listened to any of his stories. And then another one, very simple, but I just cannot get enough of these simple day-to-day stories, you know, because most of the symptoms we experience in our life are these little things that are kind of inconsequential. And for me, each tiny symptom is just like such an opportunity to learn and to practice and to have just an embodied, you know, understanding of the five biological laws and this like beautiful map that Dr. Hummer has gifted us. So a couple of weeks ago, I was in Vancouver at my mother-in-law's and asleep in the middle of the night, and the fire alarm went off in the night and it didn't like fully go off. It just made one really loud beep and woke us all up, and I stayed in bed and Matthew went out to check what was going on. And I think what had happened was that the battery was just low, you know, so it kind of beeps when the battery's low. So there was no problem. So, you know, Matthew just came back to bed And then, you know, told me what had happened, all was well, and we tried to go back to sleep. And like, you know, almost right away as we try and go back to sleep, my nose like completely blocks up and I can like barely breathe out of my nose. And I'm just like, oh, whatever. Like, woken up in the middle of the night, like kind of, you know, discombobulated. And Matthew's like, what the fuck? Like, why are you breathing like that? And so I was like, okay, yeah, why am I breathing like that? And immediately I was like, oh, I know what happened. So sinuses, nose, this kind of like two complex themes. So a stink conflict, you know, this sucks. This is annoying. I'm totally fed up. I cannot believe I have to deal with this right now. But I actually don't think it was that. The other conflict theme is a scent conflict. Okay, so, you know, biologically, a lot of animals smell far better than they see. And so, you know, that's a big part of how they interact with and understand the world is through smell. And so, you know, we inherit that capacity and also those biological programs. And so a scent conflict is, can be, you know, I smell danger in the air. And that can be literal, right? Like you literally smell, which was my conflict, was a literal, I'll say what it was. Or it could be more sort of like metaphoric, symbolic of like, you know, kind of the ambiance, like you smell danger. Also, you know, for like a small child, it could be, you know, like I can't find the smell of my mother. Okay. But for me, it was the scent conflict of when the alarm went off, like one of my first thoughts was, you know, like, what do I smell? Is there a dangerous smell in the air? Is there like carbon monoxide? Like, I don't smell smoke, but is there like carbon monoxide? Are we about to die? Should I open the window? You know, like I was very much, you know, breathing in and trying to like, through that sense, get an understanding of, am I in danger? Am I not? And so I had a little conflict shock, was conflict active. And then when Matthew came back to bed, told me what had happened. Okay, all is good. You know, I trust we're going to not just like silently, slowly die, you know, in our sleep. and I went into resolution. My nose completely blocked up. And yeah, and then as soon as I kind of clicked all the dots consciously, you know, I could breathe perfectly normally and fell right to sleep. But yeah, I love these little stories so much. And I have one more. The most recent one actually was again the other night. This is what I do every night. I'm lying in bed and I am thinking about Germany medicine. And if you cannot tell, I am obsessed. What was I thinking about? Oh yes. Okay. I was thinking about, the thought just occurred to me, like, why have I been getting like these consistent breakouts recently, like on my chin? And it feels like it's been going on for a few months. And again, it's like low grade enough. I don't really care. I'm not paying attention to, and, you know, is not consequential enough that I've put any attention to it until the other night. And so, you know, when we look at acne, pimples, this is an attack conflict, a feeling soiled conflict, feeling disfigured conflict. Okay. And immediately again, I was like, I just, you know, thought through my day. Oh, right. The reason I thought about it was because I could like feel like the beginning. It was like, you know, I could feel that sensation when it's like under your skin and it's kind of painful. I was like, this is annoying. Like, okay, what happened earlier today? And I immediately could figure out what it was, which is like, okay, this is a funny, so often, you know, with people who have chronic acne, something like is, you know, very commonly talked about in GNM, that the mirror becomes a track, right? So let's say someone feels attacked by a comment from somebody, they get one pimple, then they look in the mirror, they see the pimple, and then they have a new day at chest, they have a new conflict shock where they see the pimple, they feel attacked, soiled, gross, you know, from their own look, their aesthetic, their image has come under attack, and they now again, have the skin proliferation that in the healing phase will break down into, you know, be a pimple. And so I was like thinking about that, but it doesn't really feel like the mirror is not, you know, I don't sit there kind of ruminating over a breakout. But where I do sometimes sit and ruminate over my image is while I am on Zoom. And the reason that I have been having these consistent breakouts recently over the past few months is because for the past, I don't know what, 3 or 4 months, I have been consistently on Zoom, like about 6 hours a day doing one-on-one sessions with people about GNM, you know, which I totally love, but it's also, it's new to me to be on Zoom all the time. And of course you can see yourself all the time on Zoom. And the conflict is that I feel, maybe some of you could empathize with this, maybe not, but I feel disfigured by like poor lighting. Normally I'm sitting over there in my desk and the lighting is just like so bad. It always looks terrible. And I have the sensation of like, I'm not an unattractive person, but this lighting makes me look like Gollum or something, you know? So I see myself and I feel disfigured. I feel attacked by the bad lighting, by the poor lighting. And this kind of like daily process in, you know, I'm thinking about that on the call and then the evening comes and I'm not thinking about it, has been triggering this kind of chronic cycle of breakouts the past few months. And it was just like so obvious to me when I saw it and so funny. And I could immediately feel like my skin just like, oh, like it was so happy and just like very much communicating, you have touched on the right thing. And I immediately felt like the, that kind of like painful under the skin sensation that I was having, like totally calm down, totally relaxed. And I knew I touched on the right thing. And yeah, I actually wonder if that kind of theme has been the reason for any acne over, or like, I don't really call it acne, I guess, like breakouts, pimple, over, you know, the past many years of, you know, if I'm in a bathroom and I, or like see myself in a window and the lighting is really bad, I feel disfigured by the lighting because I don't fundamentally feel like an unattractive person. But I feel that lighting can make me look bad. It may be very vain, but it's the reality of my psyche. Yeah. So anyways, I figured out that conflict. And, you know, it's interesting because I feel like completely gone away. My skin has totally cleared up in like the past 3 days. Even though, you know, I've still been on Zoom 6 hours a day for the past 3 days, but I just have that awareness and the humor and just like, oh, that makes total sense. And I just like kind of laugh at myself and pay attention to, when I, you know, see my little square in the corner and think like, oh God, why, that looks so bad. You know, I'm just like, have the awareness and, yeah. So those are all my stories. And well, they're definitely not, there's so many stories I haven't told on here yet, but I'll keep it at that for today. And yeah, I hope this is serving as inspiration of like, don't just, you know, try and use German new medicine when you have a big symptom, okay, that's like really in your face and demanding your attention. Like use it for everything, because it's just such an opportunity to become like so adept in this information. And this is what I like wish for everybody. And this is what I, you know, my hope is with this podcast, that everyone can, you know, who wants to, can have this kind of like practical, daily, just totally integrated application of the 5 biological laws, where it's not just a cool idea. It's not just a thing you go to in like emergency, I have cancer, you know, it's something that's just like part of your life. It's how you see the world. It's how you relate to your body. It's the language that you have in your family, in your friend groups. And it's just so freeing. It is so fun. And yeah, I'm just so jazzed, as you can tell. So yeah, thank you for listening. And as always, reach out if you have any resolution stories yourself, and sign up for my free Substack, my free email list, if you haven't already, and I will send you the YouTube video. It's a free 2.5 hour introduction to German New Medicine, introduction to the 5 biological laws in a way that is just simple, coherent, and also kind of comprehensive, like a little starter pack to get you going. You know, it took me a long time to make sense of all that, of that information. And so I'm trying to articulate it in a simple way, fast track, kind of your experience with implementing this understanding in your life. So yeah, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And the link for that will be in the show notes of the podcast or YouTube, whatever you're watching or listening.